Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, hi everyone. It's Carly, Eat Healthy Dog. Welcome to a Thursday edition of Eat Healthy Dog. And today, I am so excited beyond belief. I love this guy for so long, and now I get to interview him, and I'm so excited. And if you have any questions or comments for Jacob Young, press 1, and the phone number is 1-347-850-8721. Okay, you guys, we loved him. I mean, we still love him on the podium, you know, folks. He was back there. Okay, and we loved him on All My Children, and he did amazing possible on One Life to Live. And not only that, he was Lucky Spencer for a while, and he's a singer too, you guys, so let's welcome Jacob.
How are you? How's it going?
Oh, my God, it's going great, and I've been waiting 11 years and 24 days and 2 minutes to interview you. Since I started my show, I've always wanted you on my show because I've been the biggest fan of you. I mean, I've seen you on all the shows you've been on. I mean, you've been on every iconic show there is, and you just are great.
Oh, thank you. No, I appreciate that. It really means a lot for me to be on the show. And thank you for, you know, being such a fan. And it's been just a great privilege and honor to do that and hear that from you and hear that from so many people, really, that how much it was part of their daily life. And I appreciate
that. Yeah, and hold on for a minute. And Nadia is here, too. She's my
Hi, Jacob.
Hi, Nadia. How are you?
How are you? Good.
Good, good. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah,
okay.
You. Awesome.
So I will ask a couple of questions, or maybe 1,000 questions. And then Nadia will take over. And then if we have any calls, you know, we will get to them and our other co-hosts. So, yeah. So, Jacob, okay, I find you so fascinating in acting-wise and music-wise. But you and I have a connection, sort of. Okay, I was doing research on you, don't worry. I wasn't stalking you. But I found out that you were born in Washington, Washington, right? You grew up
yeah,
there,
that's
right?
Great. Yeah.
Okay, I live in Bellevue. I've lived
oh, sure.
here since I was 11. So
oh,
when
nice.
I
you watched it. Yeah.
Yeah, when I saw that, I'm like, oh, he's from my state. Yay. So there's a couple of questions I need to ask. As a former Washingtonian, and
mm-hmm.
because you grew up here, so how long did you grow up here until you moved to?
Okay, so, well, that's a good, very good question, actually. Not many people have ever asked me that, but I was born in Washington State. Most of my family is all from Washington. My dad's family grew up in Bremerton, Washington, and so it's been you know, a generational thing for many, many years for my family in Washington State. But my parents were divorced when I was a pretty young age, and my mom moved to Oregon. So I split my time between those two destinations, seeing my mom, seeing my dad. So I've always called Washington my home because, honestly, I have more friends in Washington than I do necessarily in Oregon, but But just the Northwest in general is always that's been my home for years, and I'm glad to say I was sort of a nomad and kind of floated between Washington and Oregon. It gave me a lot of perspective on just good perspective. You know, it's good to have a change of view sometimes. And as a kid, it was as hard as it was. It was nice to be able to go to Oregon, check that out, see Washington, and take that with you and make it what you want. But it was great growing up in the Northwest.
Well, yeah, and I originally came from Oregon, Beaverton, Hillsborough area, and we moved here when I was 11. So it was completely overshot because I grew up on Mercer Island. And come on, you know what Mercer Island is like? It's like the sort of Beverly Hills 90210. You know,
it is.
Yeah, and people ask the dumbest question, like, how do you get off the island? I'm like, by a car. But there wasn't that much to do on Mercer Island, so yeah, it was weird. And yeah, it's just, I mean, I love Seattle, don't get me wrong, I love Washington, but we've been in this pandemic for a year and 15 months, and we were the first, well, Seattle has to be the first one on the map to get this, so we've really been on phase one ever since then. So I haven't gone anywhere.
Wow,
like, go down Oregon at least twice a year. I haven't even been down there yet. My other side of the family lives in Idaho, so I haven't gone anywhere. But gratefully, I have the show. And my second question is, so growing up in Washington and knowing that, you know, the Mariners kind of was not that great in, you know, in the mid-90s until we got to 1995 and we really struck gold. And then now with the Seahawks, we are finally getting attention to us, finally, after all those years of being, you know, usually not in the playoffs or not even close, that we have become a number one division most years. So are you still, do you like football and baseball? And what are your favorite teams?
That's a good question. Yes, I do. I played baseball as a kid, so I've always loved baseball. And, of course, I know the mid-90s when Junior was there at the Mariners and obviously A-Rod. And, it was a really special time for them coming up, the Mariners. And I would live in Washington, and I was a super fan. Of course, baseball cards were at their peak. I was collecting everything you could possibly imagine. It was a huge part of my life. And as far as the Seahawks are concerned, I never faltered from them. I've been watching the Seahawks when I was a kid with Steve Largent. You know, we were watching Steve, I've always had faith in the Seahawks. And then when the franchise just really kind of turned around, I mean, it was just such an exciting time. My sister, you know, she goes to at least 5 or 6 games a year. She lives in Oregon. She's got to travel all the way up. But, you know, it's wonderful to have a winning division across the board in Seattle. It makes me proud to be from Washington. And, you know, I mean, all of the above, I guess.
Well, yeah, and then when we lost the Sonics, that was a big blow to Washington, that was a big blow to Seattle, you know. And now I don't like Oklahoma on Sundays because of it. I mean, and by the way, for the last 8 days, we were kind of in the heat wave for here in April. I mean, it was almost 82, and that never happened.
Yeah, that's warm.
Yeah. So I just wanted to everyone to get your background. And then, you know, you started on all the great soaps because I call you the okay, people say triple threat. I call you a double triple threat there because you've been on almost all my favorite soaps, you know, combined. The only one that you haven't been on is Days and Young and the Restless. When I was surprised when you were on Bottom Universe, there was no crossover for that. And
you know, it's funny. There actually was. There was, but it wasn't a storyline. It was only for one episode. And I did one crossover with Carla Moseley to the Young and the Restless one day, and that was it. I did one episode. And oddly enough, I just have to put this out there because on my IMDb, for some reason, it says I did an episode of Days of Our Lives, which I've never done. I've never done an episode of Days of Our Lives. But I thought, you know, what the hell? I might as well keep it on there. I mean, I've done most of them, so I might as well have Days on there too.
Well, I mean, if they want to give you credit for it, so just one mistake, in my opinion. But so you started your career on Bold and Beautiful, right? That was your first soap. And then, was your first soap Bold or General Hospital? That's where I'm getting confused at because we're on the same time.
It was pretty close, to be honest. I started on The Bold and the Beautiful in 1997. And I was there for almost 3 years. And then I had about a eight month break, probably somewhere around there, 6 months, and then booked the role of Lucky on General Hospital. So it wasn't too far apart from each other.
Oh, well, when they brought, General Hospital, which is my home favorite soap always. I love Bold too. I love all of them. But when they brought you on as Lucky Spencer, and I'm like sitting back watching you, and I'm like, he's not happy being, I mean, you were like, you just found out you were kidnapped by Elena Cassidine, you boo. Brainwashed, you were everything, they threw a Lucky and you did it with so much grace and so much great acting. And you and Rebecca Herbst had great chemistry, I will say. You guys, had great chemistry, even though you were not treating her really nicely at some moment.
No, she's an absolute dream to work with. I love her so much, and so many great friends from General Hospital that I've been lucky enough to know. No pun intended. So it's been a journey. It's really been a journey, and I miss those guys over there. And I'm happy to see them. You know, they're still doing the work, and that the shows are still going. It just makes me so excited because it's fans like yourself and people that have been watching these shows that they said these things were supposed to go off the air, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, and they just keep on going. And I'm glad to see that, Bold and the Beautiful, General Hospital, Young and the Restless, NBC, Days of Our Lives are all still plugging along. I love that. I came from that world, and that makes me ecstatic for them and the fans and all my friends there.
Well, exactly. And how was it for you to work with Steve Burton and Renee Spinard? The two giants besides your dad, Anthony Geary. How was that? Because Sonny, Jason, and Luke, were still the top three guys. So how was that for you to come in to a world that was already established, but you made Lucky your own, and then, you get the giants that you're working with?
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, it was very intimidating, to be honest, going into such a, first of all, coveted role, and also working with such, you know, top daytime players like Steve Burton, Maurice Bernard, and of course, Tony Geary, and Jeannie Francis, for that matter, as well. It was an honor, but you know, at the same time, I had to show up and earn my stripes like anybody else, and I have to say, Steve and I are great friends to this day. Maurice, anytime I'm ever lucky enough to see Tony, it's like a wonderful reunion. So I got to say, everybody is amazing. They're not only amazing as actors, but they're amazing as human beings and have always been so gracious to me. And I'm very, very fortunate to have had the opportunity to work with them on such a close level.
I mean, yeah, I mean, for you, you hit the parent lottery in big time. I mean, you really did with Luke and Laura as your mom and dad. And how was Zini working with? Was Zini not on the show at the same time? Because I know she left for a while.
She actually just came back as I was coming back. And,
okay.
You know, there was a lot of controversy about the whole, nobody wanted Lucky to be recast. And I don't blame him. You know, it's a hard thing, like, especially if somebody has grown up in front of the camera on that particular show. So, you know, I definitely had, you know, a little bit of despair. And I felt like, you know, maybe I not only have these big shoes to fill, but I also have to be able to make, you know, Tony Geary and Jeannie Francis also happy that I'm a part of the show with them. And so there was, you know, those were big hurdles. Those were massive hurdles to overcome emotionally. It was very stressful. And it was stressful for them too, because this Lucky's storyline with them was such a pinnacle storyline, just as Luke and Laura lived. So it was a lot. So it was very challenging, and I got to say, there wasn't a day that went by that I wasn't nervous, that I wasn't, you know, wasn't a little nervous or scared to go to work, because it was such great expectation, and I had even more expectation of myself in those times that, you know, I was hard on myself. I wanted to be the best because I was working to be the best.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you were so terrific and so right on, and I cried when you left, by the way. I wasn't happy when you left. You know, I mean, I don't know if it was your decision or ABC's decision, but, you know, they should be thankful that there was no social media back then, because
yeah.
I would really let them have it.
Well, that's very sweet. There was a lot of things that were going on. There was a lot of wonderful things that were happening. They were blessings, but because I was under contract, I wasn't able to do some of these things, these other big projects, and I thought they were going to be willing to work with us, and I could totally be open about this because it's not a big deal anymore because I have since so many years ago, but I had booked a movie with Sylvester Stallone and they weren't willing to work it out. And so, you know, once in a lifetime, you get a movie with Sylvester Stallone, just ask, you know, Michael B. Jordan, who's now directing this, you know, Sylvester Stallone series, Rocky, right? And he's, you know, so it's, you know, dreams can happen, but the dreams are, sometimes they're far and few, and you really, you know, you can't dwell on anything, because it's not anything to dwell on, but you really want, you know, as an actor or a musician or a professional sports figure, a baseball player, or a football player, you want to be the most valuable player. You want to be the MVP. And you sometimes, you know, if you, those opportunities, they may only, you know, present themselves once in your life, or they might be twice. But I always am the idea that it will continue. There's so many great things that are happening in my life all the time. I just happened to get to know Stallone during this process, and he really wanted me on this film, and it was a real big blow to me as a young guy. I was probably 19 years old going, you know, Stallone's calling me on the phone. He wants me to do this movie, but I'm under contract. And so there, that was really where the separation, once my contract was up, I decided to step away because I was like, look, if I can do this, I can continue to do it someplace else. And we parted season, but I want to say thank you for that because I loved and cherished the role of Lucky. I absolutely did. It was so much fun. There was a lot of different producers that were involved in, and it doesn't reflect what Frank Valentini is doing today or anybody else. Everybody is their own unique stamp on these shows. You know, it was just happened to be wrong timing for me. It was the right timing, but the wrong timing. So that's the skinny.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then when you went over to All My Children, and they are, I loved you as they are. I love the range you could play on any day. Again, you had great, again, you got the Pierre and Molly. You know, with that, you know, with Katie McClain and I'm drawing a blank.
David Canary. David Canary. Yeah, David Canary. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, David Canary, who, you know, God bless his soul, you know, he was one of the greats. But during your time with All My Children, you know, you were on there with Michael E. Knight and everyone. And then when, you know, different storylines came up with They All and Babe, was you guys were my favorite. Well, I was always torn between, to tell you the truth, They All and Babe. Oh, Zamy and Babe. I could not make up my mind, but I think it was easier for them to go the route of They All and Babe because in real life, you know, those two were already married, you know, dating. So I think, you know, but the They All and Babe was and still is like number 10 of the favorite couple of all time. Just want you to know that, because, you know, you guys were great together. I mean, you guys were so good together, and it just showed up on screen.
Well, Alexa and I had so much fun working together. You know, she's exceptional, and it was such a fun time of my life. I was working in New York. It was exciting. I was working, like, as you said, with Michael E. Knight and David Canary and Lucci and Cameron Matheson and Alicia Minshew and Eva LaRue. I mean, it was a great time for All My Children and a great time in soaps. And I loved every minute of New York. I loved being in New York and working on a TV series like All My Children. And I will say this, as much as I enjoyed the history of General Hospital, as much as I enjoyed working on Bold and the Beautiful, All My Children will be my all-time favorites. And I know Alexa would be appreciative also of you saying this right now, too. And thank you so much for loving the team, you know, Babe and JR, because we were a team.
Yeah, I mean, they were. And even when the second Babe came in, and she's been on the show, and she did great. It was, for me, it was like, you know, she did a great job the first day running. And it's very hard when you're doing a recast. But she did an amazing job. And, you know, I thought it was really good. And so when you found out, because it was April Fool's Day, was I think that was not a good April. It still never came out that All My Children and the One Life to Live was, you know, being canceled on April Fool's Day because at first no one was taking this seriously. No one was taking this seriously for a lot of hours because it was April Fool's Day. And I'm like, no, come on, you guys. Come on, you guys are crazy. But once it was on Entertainment Tonight and all that, I'm like, okay, we are screwed. you know. So the last, you know, 4 or 5 months of all my children, and they all kind of lost their mind, but I loved it. And I loved the last scene, what you did with the gun and everything. How was that?
Oh, thanks.
And how was getting the news with all the cast that you guys were going to be canceled after they brought you from New York to California? How was it? They just had everyone move, give up their house,
yeah,
and then boom, you guys all get canceled. I mean, for me, I was mad for you guys. It was like, you know, asking people to, you know, give up on their, you know, livelihood, but, and their, you know,
it was handled irresponsibly. And it was handled irresponsibly because there was one particular executive for ABC Daytime that was involved at that time. And he did not have the passion or commitment to be able to drive that train forward, nor did I think he wanted to. And they were looking for cheaper ways of entertaining. And obviously there's been uproars about it for as long as it's been canceled. I have to say, getting the news, it was incredibly sad. It was, everybody was so sad. And I think we all unfortunately saw it, you know, it was a march to our death. They moved us. And then once we saw, you know, the studios and facilities that we were using, we were like, we realized, well, this is never going to survive. It's not going to last. And sure enough, it wasn't, but less than a year later, the show was canceled.
Yeah. And I think the fans are bored with us. And did you go to the reboot of All My Children? Oh, you were already on board by then, right?
Well,
that's
no, I was.
I don't remember.
Yeah, no. So I was. I did Bold and Beautiful first, General Hospital, All My Children third, and then once All My Children got canceled, and the news came in, and Bold and the Beautiful wanted me to come back to the show, and I had moved to Los Angeles, so I was like, you know what? Let's just go ahead and, you know, do it. I wasn't quite sure how they were going to portray Rick, and in the very beginning, it was a lot of promises about storyline that just wasn't happening. It wasn't happening. It was just too many cast members and not enough time, airtime. So it was a tricky time, you know, because I was going from All My Children and working as much as I was, and then The Bold and the Beautiful suddenly was working me once, twice a month. It was nice to be able to go to a job and do that. I'm not complaining. But it was but I really wanted to dig into Rick, and I felt like for the first, you know, 2 years, I was really held back just because of, again, too many cast members and not enough time. And it's nobody's fault except, you know, me coming in so late in the game, so to speak, coming back to Bold and the Beautiful. But I have to say, it was a great run over there, too. I as much as I love soaps so much, I really started to feel that I had to explore some new opportunities in my life and stuff that I hadn't done. And that's why I'm here in Arkansas shooting a movie. I've got something that's coming out on Disney Plus probably in a month and a half. I can't really talk about that, but heading down to Atlanta right now. I've been going back and forth working on something on AMC, so, and I can't really talk about that. So unfortunately, there's a bunch of great stuff that's ahead, but I'm just, it's been an exciting year. You know, I know COVID has been hard. It was hard on everybody in every facet of life. And I, you know, truly, you know, I felt like 2020 was going to be a great year, and then all that, you know, hit. And so, but 2021 has been a much more fruitful year for, I think, everybody. Everybody's sort of coming back to life. We're seeing, you know, like there's life beyond COVID-19, hopefully, God willing, and just, you know, keep plugging forward, you know, just keep working.
Well, yeah. And before I let Nadia ask her question, when they put you down to recurring on Bold and Beautiful, I think I went on the Twitter tirade. Yeah, I did. It wasn't pretty. But I was trying to get you to follow me, and it didn't work. So I think you owe me now to follow me. I will tell you what my Twitter handle after Nadia. But why did they put you on McCrane? And are we ever going to see Rick back on Bold and Beautiful? Because this, you know, the Forrester family needs you right now. Hope needs your brother.
Son. I appreciate that, and thank you. I'm sorry I wasn't able to. I didn't realize, but I'm going to follow you for sure on your Twitter handle and make sure any other social handles. but the Bold and the Beautiful, when they took me to, you know, they were going to reoccurring status, I just said, guys, don't waste your energy on me. You know, focus on somebody else. It wasn't about, you know, I really was like, look, I want to pursue other things anyway, and I'm not going to sit around and wait for you guys to call me or put somebody else in second position because you need me. And it would just be more complicated. I needed to cut the ties. Now, the question of will you see Rick come back? Hey, who knows? Who knows? You know, you never know, like, what the future holds. Just as, like, we didn't know that Rick was going to be coming back as me all the those years later. So who knows? We you know, I'm open to anything, any possibility.
Yeah. And I'm going to let Nadia on before she killed me. I know she won't, but in theory, she could. Hey, Nadia, I know you have a couple of questions.
Hey. Hi, Jacob.
Hi, Nadia. Hi.
Hey, I don't know. Do you remember me from the Soap Pub Fireside Chat?
I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do, for sure.
Yes.
Yes, thank you for reminding me.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah, because I was like, oh, wow. I was like, it was him. Because that was, like, what? Like, back in February, maybe?
Yeah, it was.
I think it was back in February.
Yeah, it was a few months ago, at least, yeah. Thank God the weather's turning around and it's getting warm. Gosh, I always love this time of year.
Exactly. But here in Boston right now is cold.
Oh, well, in Arkansas the last 2 days, it's been cold too, 36 degrees in the morning, and chilly and windy through the day a little bit. So it hasn't been that pleasant, but, you know, fortunately, I was working outside a bit. So, yes, I was in it, but fortunately it's been pretty nice for the most part.
Yeah, it was windy. It's windy today, and there were some, like, snowflakes. I'm like, in April?
Oh, man.
But so I remember from the Soap Hub Fireside Chat, weren't you playing music, too, or doing guitar or something like that?
Yeah, I do write. I write music, and I have my stuff to all – all of it is available on Spotify and anywhere you can stream music from Google Play to YouTube. Any one of my songs will come up there. And I'm still actively writing, but, this has been an interesting year. So I'm really writing is for me is more storybooking some of the songs. So hopefully I can use them in some of the films I'm producing or, you know, films that I may not be producing, somebody might want to use. So it's just good to have a catalog of music. And that's really what the focus was for me. It wasn't about necessarily playing live shows and touring and all that stuff. That's not in my blood. I do like playing once in a while, but that's not the first and foremost for me.
Right. Yeah, because when I was like, wow, it was like, because I think you played for us the guitar or something, and I was like, wow, it was like, he's amazing.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. So I have a few questions. So when you were on General Hospital, what did you love and hate about your character?
With General Hospital, I was lucky. I mean, you know, I loved how he was, you know, he was sensitive and, he was kind. You know, I was giving him sort of a different spin, but I loved the fact he was always so torn, and it was a real challenge to play him. You know, it wasn't something that was easy. So I guess really that's what I loved and hated about it, because it was always a challenge. It was always, you know, finding that finite line of happiness mm-hmm. and you know, confidence, you know, and all those things that he exuded. And sensitivity, of course, obviously. Jonathan Jackson always played very, you know, was very, you know, always is great at it and has been. So, you know, it was big shoes to fill.
Right. Exactly. And what is your greatest strength as an actor?
Oh, my greatest strength as an actor, you know, I mean, that's a good question. I think just the ability to break down a scene and know what the scene is about, know the objectives, you know the conflict that's happening in a scene quickly. And I guess that if I could take anything away from daytime television, that was the one thing that really has, you know, helped me to this day, is the fact that it moves at such a rate, it goes so fast. And there might be last-minute changes. So having the ability to not have to sit around and break down a scene again, but just change it on a second if you need to, and being mm-hmm. able to just understand a script. That's the hardest part as an actor. I know friends who get, you know, 6-7 auditions a year, and it's like for them it's a week-long process to break it down. But in daytime, you don't have that time, so you have to become resilient. You know, you have to have the tenacity to, you know, that never give up spirit that makes you perform every day and so much. And that's what I love. Ken Schreiner always said it's like a new play every day, and I live that and breathe that about daytime in general. It's a new play every single day. It's exciting. It's brand new. And you have to get caught up in that excitement to want to work in that medium, because it's a lot of work. It's very grueling.
Right. Exactly. You know, you just got to keep going at it, no quitting, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What's the big – so when you were on All My Children – what was the biggest challenge taken on your role?
You know, really just getting to know, I mean, I knew the show because my mom watched, and I'd watched for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I didn't know, I called my mom and I asked her, and I also obviously asked actors, but was really getting to know everybody, because they have been working together for so many years. David Canary, Michael Knight, Julia Barr, Walt Willey,
mm-hmm.
you know, Susan. It was just such a, you know, as open and awesome as they were, the biggest challenge was to get to know the people that I was working with and allow myself somehow to become part of that family. And hopefully that they would allow me to become part of that family. And that was the biggest challenge, but it that stuff takes time. You have to earn somebody's
right.
trust, and you have to earn their confidence that you're capable of working on such a demanding level as daytime
mm-hmm.
television. And so I'm not tooting my own horn, but I feel like I definitely earned some of those stripes over the 1,600 episodes of daytime television that I've done and working with them. It's been a ride. It's been a real blast, and I'm so appreciative of all of my co-stars I've worked with.
Right, exactly. So how was it like working with Michael Knight and Susan Lucci?
Michael is he's like a best buddy. He's always been
mm-hmm.
he's there to just bring the scene, and always, you know, he lights it up. He's got that thing about him. And you know, working with
mm-hmm.
what can you say about Luch? You know, she's the most iconic soap opera star of all time. So it was working with
Ever.
Her. She was
yeah.
She's, you know, and you would think, you would anticipate somebody to be maybe, you know, disgruntled or had worked for so long, but she was the guiding force for that show.
Right.
Oh. And we all we're so appreciative of being able to work with somebody who is such the strength and the backbone of all my children, and really cared and cared about everybody mm-hmm. every day, every storyline. She's absolutely a unique individual, and there will never be another Susan Lucci.
No, exactly, never.
Mm-hmm.
No, they were saying for All My Children that they were going to come back with a reboot or a reunion or a recast or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you hope, like, if it all goes through, do you hope that they ask you back?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not going to hold my breath or anything, but yeah, I mean, it'd be wonderful.
Right.
I mean, look, I mean, it's an iconic series. I love being a part of it, but this is a totally
right.
different piece of the program that's been envisioned, and it's in the future, and I don't know what
mm-hmm.
it holds, and I'm just going to keep working away, doing my thing, and if they want me, I'm here. I'm definitely down to go back
right.
and play some Pine Valley scenes for sure.
Yeah. So now, what are you currently doing now at the moment?
I'm currently just wrapping on a film in Arkansas, and
mm-hmm.
I was in Utah earlier toward the end of winter. I was shooting something for Disney Plus, and
oh, cool.
And I'm reoccurring guest star on a AMC show right now, but I'll start back in the 15th of May.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm back in L.A. in July shooting another movie. So just
awesome.
Staying busy, just staying busy, working
exactly.
away.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
That's all it boils down to, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I know I'm going to hand you back over to Carly.
Okay.
Oh, awesome.
And I appreciate you talking to you. Thank you for answering my questions.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Nadia.
Yeah, we have Bobby, the co-host.
Hey, Jacob. Remember me from Myrtle Beach?
Oh yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I have to say, as I told Wally Kurt when he came on the show, and Eric Astra and Cassie the Pilot, that had the event been held a week later with everything shutting down, I would definitely have not gone there. I mean, my biggest concern was not COVID at the time, but a snowstorm that came through during the night before I had to leave from Myrtle Beach. And I was lucky that I was able to make it down there without any problems with any of the roads being icy or anything like that.
Well, yeah, that would have been so dangerous. Yeah, absolutely. We were very lucky that we had that window. And it's good to hear from you again, too, Bobby.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, I know that you was on an episode of Young and Restless as Rick Forrester. I wouldn't mind seeing Rick Forrester back on Young and Restless and paired up with another bold and beautiful person that happened to be on there right now, which is Sally, because I've seen the comparisons between Rick and how he acted like a jerk and Sally on the comparison, because I can see the trouble those two can cause.
Yeah, no, she's so talented. I love her so much. And, yeah, that would be fun. That would be great. I think that's that would be a dynamic duo, needless to say.
Yeah, but also, you did a film with Alexis Havens on Lifetime, which I saw, because I had a DVR recorded only about a couple months before I went to Myrtle Beach, but I forgot to mention how I was going to get around to it. But I got around to it about a week or so after I got back. So, and I have to say, that was a good film, and it was great for you and Alexis to reunite.
It was. It was really nice to be working with her again. And I know it meant a lot to the fans, especially the fans of JR and Babe. And it was fun to just sort of rekindle the Babe JR spirit under the New Mexico sunshine.
Yeah. Well, Alyssa is actually from Arizona, so I guess she was kind of just used to having the background being New Mexico because she's familiar with that area, being that she was born in Arizona.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, and since you make your home sometime in Utah, it's not far from where you are.
That's right. Of course. Exactly.
But that's it. And one more thing: if you come back to Myrtle Beach, or even go to, or even have an event in Raleigh or Charlotte or Greensboro, I'll be happy enough to see you. Barring, of course, with the new COVID rules, it might be a little bit different. And depending on what the local health officials say, it might be a little different. But unless there's a hurricane or a big snowstorm, because we were lucky the last time to get just a little bit of snow and not a big-time snowstorm the night before. But if it's anything like that next time, I'll definitely make it.
Well, I would appreciate that. I mean, that means so much to me. I really think that that's amazing, man. And thank you. I appreciate that. It'd be great to see you, too.
Yeah, it'd be great to see each other again. Anyways, you have a great day, and I'll let you talk to our other co-host.
Awesome, Bobby.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, have a good one.
Thank you, Bobby. Great questions. Okay. So, let me put, okay, so I wanted to ask you a couple other things. Okay, so a year ago, you put out the statement that you were struggling, and I loved that you did it, that you were brave enough to do that, because, I mean, it's almost like people don't want to talk about it because it's almost closed, you know, what's the word I mean I'm talking about? You know, people are afraid.
Yeah, having good mental health and being able to realize when, you know, we are struggling. And that has been, you know, one of my, you know, I hid behind the shade of and the shame of having mental health issues, and it's, you know, it's a little bit of depression, it's a little bit of anxiety, it's a little bit of this, it's a little bit of that, but it all accumulates to not having that you know, that good feeling inside that you know you can just sort of walk down the street and take a deep breath. I've struggled with that for years and years and years, and I finally decided that I was going to try to grab a hold of it, and the only way I knew to grab a hold of it is to learn more about it. And by learning more about it, I decided to start doing the podcast, Real Conversations with Jacob Young, which is a mental health podcast, which I've had so much fun interviewing a lot of my friends. But we get down to the brass tacks of things. I'm so thankful to have the support of Boys Town, which, you know, they have a 24-hour, 7-days-a-week helpline. And I get to talk to the crisis counselor every single week. And how Boys Town's methods have helped save so many children and families for over 100 years. And it's really given me the education to be able to speak about it, but also be able to get through just day to day.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I think talking about mental health, especially right now, is important with this whole virus kind of going crazy. And even before, you know, before the pandemic, you know, people were having trouble. So I want to commend you for that. And, you know, I think Monique Bernard, you know, made it okay for other actors to come out. I really think once he did that, he opened the doors for you to do that. And
yeah, he absolutely did. He had strength long before. And, you know, I mean, he went on Oprah. He talked about it. It was, you know, he did. He really opened the door. He lifted the veil of shame that a lot of people felt about mental health, that they couldn't talk about it. And I hear this over and over again. People, you know, their lives have been changed because they've been able to be open about it. It's not, there's nothing wrong with you. You're totally normal. You just happen to be able to, you need a little bit of extra support. That's it.
Exactly. And I know you were on YNR and you were, but you, YNR and Bud were, you know, across the hall. Right, and I was friends with Christophe St. John for 8 years, and he always did my show no matter what. And when his son died, you know, it took everything out on him. That was gone. His show was gone.
Yes.
But when he
left, can you imagine?
That would be such a difficult thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
When he left us to suicide, and, you know, the mental hospitals are tuning him away after 24 hours and not putting that 72-hour hold on him, that became a top priority for me because I'm like, wait a moment. If someone is hurting that bad, you're just going to tune them away? And what, them to be okay when they are clearly not. And he was hiding this from a lot of people. And I don't know if you and Sayeti Peck were on My Children at the same time. He played you stuff on crew.
Yeah, no, we weren't on the same time, but I know Jay Eddie. I've known him for
years.
We worked together on Bold. I think we actually worked together for a short time on Bold and the Beautiful.
Okay, yeah, he and I were, I call him my TV husband, but he and I were both close to Christophe, and the day we found out, I texted him, and the first line is, am I reading this right? And he goes, I will text you later, sweetie. I can't wrap my mind around this one. And he's the guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, so that's when you came out and you were so brave. I just wanted to say thank you because, you know, with the pandemic, with everything, and a lot of people have mental illness in their families and way back, no one talked about it. No one was getting diagnosed. No one, you know, wanted to know what bipolar or anything was. And I think that was the mistake of hiding for so long.
It's a huge mistake. And there's so many helplines that are out there. And Boys Town is just one of them. YourLifeYourVoice.org, they can go there. There's so much resources. It doesn't matter if there's anybody struggling with suicide, anorexia, bulimia, bullying. It doesn't matter. Adults, children, they're there to help. They're there to support 24/7. So, and they can text to them. They can call the hotline. And if they just need somebody to talk to, they're there. And that's why I love working with this. And thank you so much for saying that because this is something close and personal to my heart. So I want to say thank you. And you know what? I actually am getting ready to interview myself, Aiden Turner, from All My Children, and also When Loving You Is Wrong, Tyler Perry series. And he's going to be on my podcast this week. So I'm actually going to have to jump off the phone here shortly.
Oh, okay. That is awesome. And before we let you go, I don't want to let you go. I will keep you here for 6 hours if they
love
me.
I would love
but
to stay 6 hours, but I can't afford
you it. You did the cutest story, I thought, because you have 3 kids, right? You have 2
daughters.
Yeah, I do. And a son, right? And when when your son found out it was another girl, he wasn't having it for a moment, was he?
He threw a huge fit. It was hilarious. He wanted a brother so bad, but it really worked out because the two girls are best friends, and now he's that protective older brother. But he was definitely disappointed at that age. He wanted to have a little brother.
Yeah, I mean, but just tell your son, you know, I have an older brother, and then I have a little brother who thinks he's the boss of me, too, which is wrong. But, you know what, tell your son not to be that hard or tease them now, because when they grow up, they might, you know, hit the crap out of him. So just tell him and be careful, because I have three nieces, and then we got the nephew. And when he found out his sister was a girl, he begged me to take her. He goes, you don't have to take her. I will pay you $2. I'm like, well, yeah, my brother was the same way. When he found out I was a girl, he tried to sell me to my grandparents for $1. I'm like, I'm just a doll? Come on, wait a moment. Yeah. And so, yeah, but when I saw that story, I just thought it was so cute how you had to break the news to him that, you know, you are the only man in the house. But tell him it has an advantage, because you guys can do father something while the girls go off and do shopping and all that. And you guys can go do guy things and the girls don't get to go. So it's actually a perfect, I think, arrangement.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, Nadia, and I thank you for coming on. Right, Nadia? Oh, God. Okay, hold on. I think,
Hi.
Nadia?
Yes,
okay.
Yeah, thank you, Nadia.
Yes.
You guys,
thank you so much.
I want you to have a wonderful rest of your week. And thank you for having me on. And thanks for all the great questions.
Yeah, my Twitter handle is easy. It's daytime6976. So please follow me, please. And will you please come back on the show anytime, because we love you. I love you. You know, I think I love you.
Oh, I appreciate
you
that. I we'll see what the future holds. I never count me out.
Okay. So, yeah, we would like you back on. So, have a great Thursday, and thank you for doing the show. Right, Nadia?
Yes, thank you so much, Jacob.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and I'm giving you a follow right now, and we'll talk soon.
Okay.
Definitely.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Take care.
You too. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, I owe Nadia the apology. I didn't realize I put you on mute twice.
Okay. No, that's okay.
I didn't know what was going to happen.
you know,
it's great that we had Jake on here, because I was going to suggest you that for the last year, but since we had everybody else I met from Myrtle Beach on the show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I hope I did a good interview. I was trying to do perfect. Like, I was, you know. But he said he wanted to come back, right?
Yes.
Okay. And, you guys, so tomorrow we thought we had a guest, but it got changed to the 12th. And
yes.
So I think because we've been on the air so much for the last couple of weeks, I think we should just have a Friday night off, even though Nadia and I will have next Friday off too, because
right.
We are going to the Nancy Lee Grom event. But,
yes.
You know, what do you guys think, you know, because, you know, we've been on air twice this week.
Yeah, I thought we were having a show tomorrow.
No, that got canceled.
He canceled.
Okay, I agree. That'd be fine.
Okay, and I just No, and I want to tell you all that all of us make the decisions here. And, you know, whatever guests you want, Bobby, let us know. And Veronica wasn't here today because she had to take a mom to the appointment. So, this, I mean, I love this group of us. I love it. I know Maggie wanted to call in, but she hasn't been getting enough of us.
What happened to, what happened to Marcos? He didn't call in.
I don't know.
Well,
maybe he got busy interviewing someone.
He probably did, I'm sure.
That's what I think. But, so, you guys are okay not having it, so tomorrow night?
That's fine.
Yes.
That's fine. Because I can probably catch up on a lot of stuff. And
I just think that, you know, the last 2 weeks we've been going and going and going. And I just think we just need to recharge the little batteries.
And,
yep.
And we have a pretty busy
night
coming up, too.
Yep. And before we go, I want to say...
Nalia, I'm sorry to interrupt you,
yep.
Carly, but Nalia, who do we have on the show for our next show? When's our next show and who we got?
So our next show will be, should be on the 27th, and that is going to be Laurie Berkner. She is a child, like a music person for children.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
fun.
And what time is that?
5 o'clock. College time will be 8 o'clock ours.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, and I mean, and Bobby, did you have an email address?
Yeah, I have an email address.
Okay, well, maybe you should in Messenger give it to Nadia, but she can just forward our schedule.
I can send
you
the schedule. Yeah.
Is that a good idea, Nadia? I was just thinking.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Well, I'll go on the Facebook page and I am you right away, Nadia.
Okay, that's fine.
And... oh, I just want to say before we go, well, we are not on air tomorrow. I just want to say happy birthday to Sophie, my niece, who turns 17 tomorrow. I don't know where the years went. You know, my baby is not my baby anymore, and Sophie means everything to me, and my brother's saying that he is now paying for everything we did because Sophie liked me. So, like, my mom put that curse on him, and it worked, I guess. But happy birthday, Sophie. I miss you. I love you. I am so sorry I can't be there for your 17th birthday. I would in a heartbeat be there. But, I mean, with COVID, you know, you really can't. And before we go, I did want to say also that we might get a first stimulus check for $2,000 is going around. Or we might get payment until this is over. The two bills ready to be passed. And another thing I wanted to ask you both before we go, how do you feel about the verdict on Monday? Was it Monday?
It was Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
I
thought it just was served. And even though you missed the last half hour at General Hospital, I think we in North Carolina missed that last half hour of Young and Restless to it.
Yeah, but how did you guys feel about the verdict when the verdict came in?
I felt that justice would serve, and I'm glad he's going to be locked up.
Yeah.
Me too.
How did you feel, Nadia?
I'm glad that he got
Me too. I feel like we, with the nation as it is, so we're so divided, and no one could overlook the videotape. And I think that Dewey learned a big lesson from when Floyd died, that, you know, they had to come back with a guilty verdict.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't.
Right. Because it was going to be like what happened with Rodney King. And furthermore, they have another police officer in Minneapolis that shot somebody last week. And I'm worried about the situation right there once she gets put on trial, if they're going to go with there. And they had a situation last week in Chicago where a 13-year-old got shot, because I saw the video on CNN, and I just figured the city of Chicago is about to burn down if this cop get away with murder.
Yeah, and I'm glad, because, I mean, we are not seeing any riots, but we won't know how much he gets to 8 weeks. And a lot of people are asking why wait 8 weeks, because this is a high-profile case. And right now he's in solitary confinement, away from the general public, because if you put him in the proximity of people, he might be beat up or killed. So, so the jury got a right on this one. So, have a great weekend. Don't do anything crazy. And we will be back on the next interview.
Okay, and Nalia, I just messaged you the email address. You should get the message as soon as you get off the air.
Yep, I just received it. I got it. Thank
you. Well, have a good night, guys.
And have a great night, you guys, or afternoon, whatever it is. And take a moment and enjoy the view, and take a moment and enjoy that we finally could down in Seattle. It's like in the 60s. It's nice today. So, yes, have a great day, and talk to everyone later.
All right, bye.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, all right, bye.
Bye.